This is Will's Band of the Week for July 22nd, 2019. To another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
And you actually rented out a fancy studio for this for today's recording, I heard.
Right, exactly. Our sponsors put up a couple $100,000. We got a new studio here in Santa Fe, and yeah, it's pretty sweet. I like it so far.
It sounds
pristine.
They
need to work on the AC, I think, but besides that, it's pretty good.
All right. Can never be perfect, right? Even when you put $200,000 into it, there's going to be a few glitches here and there that you got to put up with, right?
Yeah, and we're pretty demanding, so you know that that list gets, you know, we have high standards.
Yeah, so this is kind of fun. This is the first kind of normally recorded podcast in a while, because the last two were pre-recorded before I left on my trip. And so,
right, you've been like world traveler,
and I left on the trip. I went on this trip specifically for the podcast. It was all about, you know, scouting for Will's Band of the Week. I mean, that's a reason to travel,
funded
right?
By another sponsor. Right?
Yeah. So, where do I even start? I have so many reports. Like, what do we do? Maybe I think the to ease the listeners in, I think we'll start with this one. Yes, that means I have a sports report.
There you go. That's easing in with that track, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So we spent a lot of the vacation time in Glasgow. Uh-huh. And I had a couple sports things. So first of all, the Women's World Cup soccer final was going on when we were there. And I thought, this will be fun because it's United States against the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And it's fun just being in a kind of a random place to watch something like that. And also, it's always interesting to see if you can tell what the rooting interest of the crowd is.
Right.
We made this plan because my wife didn't have any interest in watching the game. So we made a plan to take the subway to a neighborhood where she could hang out. And then there was a bar that we looked like it would have the game on. So we got to the subway, and there was a sign that said, delays from whatever, that for the next 3 hours because of Rangers football game. I'm like, wait, Rangers football game? That sounds kind of cool. So my wife said, do you want to go? And I did a quick search on my phone because I didn't even know there was a game. And £10 for any ticket.
Nice.
In the place. And I was kind of curious about it. So I took the subway to the Rangers game, and basically I watched the first half of the Rangers game and then got to the bar and watched the second half of the World Cup final. So I had a, you know, kind of a soccer day. It was cool.
Yeah, it was totally fun.
It was fun to see the culture. This game was a friendly, they call them, even though they're not friendly, like an exhibition game. Right. Against Oxford, and Rangers crushed them.
Wow,
5-0 or 5-0 if you use their vernacular. And it was two goals that they scored in the first half that I saw, that I was at a really good vantage point. The fans are kind of, you could describe them as rabid. You know, they're really into
it.
It's like American football here, that level of enthusiasm. But I thought it was great. It was really fun. They had Scottish pie at the concession stand, so I had to get
of
one.
Course.
These little mini pies. like a meat pie thing. Pretty good, pretty fun. So yeah, cool atmosphere. I would like to go to another game there sometime. And then the other other sports thing, also soccer related, is that I was running one day and sort of getting a little bit lost. And luckily, I had my phone with the Google Maps, but I was running along this canal, and I just happened to stumble upon another soccer stadium where a team called Partick Thistle plays their games. They have an old, classic, old-looking stadium that has a capacity of about 10,000. So kind of small.
Nice.
And it seems like I looked it up, and they have a pretty devoted fan base, and I was able to see the stadium. I actually walked into the stadium because there was some work going on there. I sent Craig a photo, and he says, you know, were you part of a tour or something? And I'm like, no, I just walked in. He's like, how can you do that? So, yeah, nobody
that's so
great.
Oh my
arrested
gosh. And
me.
They get so into it over there, right? I've never been to, like, a professional, like, football game. So
I mean, then this is a friendly.
It would be fun, just even though I don't know it or know how to, you know, I don't track teams or anything. But I'm sure just the atmosphere and people's enthusiasm just make it so fun to be there.
And the game is good. I mean, we all grew up on American football, and it's such a different kind of a vibe. And the action is pretty much nonstop and pretty fun, I think. Now, I can only imagine what it would be like at a game with the two big rivals, Rangers against Celtic. It would be, unfortunately, that's all tied in with the, like, religious battles, culture wars, you know, the Catholic-Protestant thing. And,
Right,
which is kind of unfortunate. But the whole scene, I'm sure, would be just crazy. Actually, that's another thing Craig said. He said, you better not be wearing your Celtic shirt or you won't come out of there alive. I have a Celtic shirt and a Rangers shirt. So I want Scotland to be unified. So
there you go.
So, all right. That's the sports update. So now that means we get to do this. Yes, there was live music. Generally,
and you saw it.
Yeah, generally, Glasgow is a very, very good city for live music. They have a lot of venues, and they have. I kept telling my wife that I've never seen so many gig posters. Just like everywhere you go, there are just gig posters everywhere, which is really cool. So the first week. We went to a venue that we had been to last year, which is a classic little tiny venue called the Hug and Pint.
Nice.
And I had to look it up because we were there last year, but I didn't remember really how small it really is. It's in the basement of a restaurant, and the capacity is 120.
Wow.
So it's pretty intimate. And we went there to see the Stroppies.
Nice.
From,
oh, my gosh. How fun.
From Australia. So, and they were great. And I should mention the opener, a Glasgow band called Rapid Tan.
Okay.
Really fun. I hope Rapid Tan puts out some music for more broad distribution. We talked to them a little bit afterwards. They've got a great singer who kind of screams very rhythmically, and they're like really tight and really fun. Rapid Tan. And Rapid Tan said during their set that the Stroppies will be coming on after us, and they said the drummer was saying this, that they're probably the nicest band that we've ever played with. They're just so nice. And then Stroppies were great. So then afterwards we were talking to them a little bit. And the guitar player, singer, keyboardist is a guy named Gus. And what a super nice guy.
Wow,
so it's
that's
just
great.
Great talking to him afterwards. And I humbly mentioned the podcast, and he said, oh, yeah, I've heard it.
I'm like, really? Wow, that's so
cool.
Yeah,
because we talked about the Stroppies before, and I guess they're, you know, they're indie rockers.
Yeah,
they're not totally huge.
They're hip. They're hip. They know about Will's band.
Yeah, and we'll have to hear from Craig because I believe they just played in Ipswich, which I believe Craig attended. But we haven't heard what he thought about it yet. So definitely Strappies, Rapid Tan, both great. And then the following week, we went to see Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever in an old church called St. Luke's that is now a music venue. And boy, oh boy, you know, you hear them on record and you can't really tell. I mean, they're kind of jangly, but they're kind of fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you could play those songs in a semi-laid-back fashion, even though they're fast, or you could play them a little more aggressively. Boy, do they ever go the aggressive route. They just... it's almost like seeing the Ramones in Jangle Pop version. Because, you know, like, I remember...
Oh, my gosh, bringing the steeple down. Yeah,
when I saw the Ramones, whatever, 30 years ago, no, like 35, I don't know. It was a long time ago. 40 years ago? Yeah, more like that.
Wow, early on then.
So, you know, they would play a song, and then it ends, and then there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the next one goes, right? And it just, like, goes in. And that's sort of how Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever were. They, like, one song would end, and then the drummer would do the 4 drumsticks, and they'd be rocking again. You know?
Exactly, just right into the next.
Yeah, and, but, you know, they've got 3 singers, and their songwriting is really good, so they can pull it off. And it was great.
It sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Ramones once in, I think it was 86, something like that. So after you. And yeah, that was a pretty high intensity show. And I just remember that Joey is very kind of unattractive looking. Not to be mean, but it was just the mood I was in. Like, wow. No wonder he combs his hair forward like that.
Oh, he's just like an awkward guy, like, in so many respects. Yeah. And then that's part of the
I'm sure he's really nice, and that sounded mean. I don't mean it that way, but
well, and the poor guy, didn't he get his girlfriend stolen by Johnny or something? I think there was some kind of thing like that within the band.
Oh gosh, yeah. Yes, people, drama.
Yeah.
Band drama.
And the opener for Rolling Blackouts was a band called Thylla, Thyla.
Heard it. Yeah.
And they had a shoegazy sound, and I think they did it well. And they had a guy, it's almost like a thing in indie rock. It's like an indie rock character, right? It's the guy who is like the guitar wall of sound maker who has like 10 pedals and just creates a wall of sound. And that's what this guy did.
Right. He has like his pants aren't pulled all the way up and he's kind of hunched over a little bit.
Yeah. This guy was he's a little more clean cut looking but it was just, it was intense. Well, especially Rolling Blackouts. I mean, it was so intense. We were in the front and the sound was great and it was really loud.
Wow. Yeah.
But high quality loud. So that was good. My ears were okay. Yeah. About 24 hours later. It took a little while.
Right. Even with earplugs, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And your wife is such a good sport to kind of do all this with you.
Yeah. She's
cheers to her.
She likes live music in general a lot. And she usually is fine with the bands that I drag her to. The Jangle Pop stuff isn't really her top genre, but she's cool with it. So she enjoyed both shows.
Right. So what does she drag you to?
She doesn't drag me to music. Uh-huh. You know, she, let's see. Well, it's funny because, like, we definitely have different things we like to do sometimes than when traveling. Right. Like, she doesn't want to, I don't want to take her into, like, a music store and, you know, make, well, if I'm looking at guitars or something, you know, I know she's going to be bored. So she'll go to the fabric store, like a quilting store or something. So that's where she will drag me there. And then I'll say, I'm going to meet you in 45 minutes back here. So we had a pretty good system, actually. It worked out pretty well.
That's good. Yeah, you give each other some leash. That's good.
And here's a live report that's not quite a live report. We went and watched the Cure concert film.
Oh, neat.
So they had
I haven't seen that yet.
It was actually playing in Madison a couple weeks ago, I noticed. So they did a bunch of, you know, limited screenings, like, you know, a single screening or whatever in a particular city. And we got to talking about it, and Maya is an old Cure fan also. She loves them. So
They're great.
So we were talking about how they were showing this movie in Madison. Too bad we weren't in Madison when they when it was showing. Well, I looked it up, and there was a showing in Glasgow. So we went. We sat in a theater for 2 hours and watched a Cure show, and it was just a pure concert film. So it was just like you were watching them in concert, obviously super high video and audio quality. And it was really cool. It was their 40th anniversary show from either last year or the year before. I think it was 2018.
Oh, okay.
In Hyde Park in London, and it looked like there was a million people there. But it wasn't quite a million. It was probably, God, I wouldn't be surprised if it was
40,000 or 50 or something.
Or maybe even 100. More. Yeah, yeah. So they really sound good live. I mean, my only criticism would be there are probably a couple of 8-minute tracks that they could have not necessarily had to play. Like the title track from the Disintegration album.
Mm-hmm,
right. I love that album, and, and it has great stuff on it. But the title track, you know, it goes on for a long time. It's not really one of their best. But for the most part, really great and really fun.
Nice.
I thought the theater would be full, and like with one showing of this thing, but it was maybe a third full, if that. But there were great classic rockers, you know, there, so it's kind of cool. Like a guy.
The other real, like, Cure fans were probably actually at the show.
Yeah, like a guy. A guy that's our age or a little bit older wearing his Cure shirt. It was just great. It was just awesome.
From high school. Right?
So, yeah, right. Looked like it was in pretty good shape. It wasn't all tattered or anything. There was a music festival going on in Glasgow. It's called Transmit, but take out all the vowels and make it all capitals. So it's T-R-N-S-M-T, all in all capitals. 150,000 people in 3 days. So I guess that means roughly 50,000 per day in this really big park. I looked at the schedule and thought, boy, that'd be pretty cool to go to a music festival while we're there. But then when I looked at the schedule, it was like, it's about maybe 30 bands. Mm-hmm. There were 29 bands that I had no interest in seeing, plus Fontaine's DC.
Right. Oh, gosh.
So it was pretty funny that they were in the middle of this lineup of, I don't know, I just sampled a bunch of them. I hadn't heard of hardly any of the bands, and wasn't interested. But what was interesting was that we saw the crowd going to and from this, and it was very much dominated by teenage girls. There were so many girls that were like 14 to 17 with their faces painted and stuff. And it's like, I guess I see why that wasn't, you know, it wasn't the aging indie rockers that they were going for. And that's probably a smart move, because there aren't 50,000 of us, right?
Right.
We're smaller.
Still go out to music, yeah.
Smaller demographic.
It's so funny how that, do you find that a lot? It's like you're at shows and you're kind of the oldest person.
Oh, yeah.
It's often like
definitely
a lot of young definitely women, basically. I'm always just like, what does that say about my musical taste? Like,
but I think I did notice at the Rolling Blackouts show that there were a fair number of older people, maybe not as old as us, but there are probably some that are as old as us. And, you know, a lot of people probably in their 30s and 40s. So it was a pretty good cross section. It wasn't like you felt, you know, horribly old. So
yeah, I'd love to see them. They sound like I've just watched a couple things on YouTube, and they look pretty amazing live. So.
And then it's not really music related, but there's a venue there, which is another old church. They have so many old churches in Glasgow. And a lot of them just aren't churches anymore, so they've converted them into music venues and, I suppose, other things. And
community centers. And stuff.
Yeah, and there's one called Oran Moor, which you hear about a lot. And so we didn't get into the venue, but we ate at the restaurant. It's just a super cool bar. and restaurant.
Nice.
So there, if you need your Glasgow recommendations,
there you go.
Contact me and I've got it.
Reach out.
And then there's
didn't
one
you
other
go on some whiskey tours too.
Oh wait, there's a couple more. God, a couple more music related things. Believe it or not, we went to we did this tour called the Glasgow Music City Tour, and this woman named Fiona gave this group a tour of venues all over, and they do two different ones. There's one that's centered in the sort of downtown area, which is the one that we did, and there's one that goes in a westerly direction. So there are different sets of venues and different stuff. So we just did the downtown one out of convenience. It was great, really fun. They're just so enthusiastic about their music. So I definitely recommend the Glasgow Music City tours.
Wow, and then, sounds like you had a great time.
And then I went to the other venue that's really well known called King Tut's. We walked in and there was a show going on that evening. I keep forgetting the guy's name. It's a guy who's pretty popular in the UK, and we were there like an hour and a half before the show started. So I wanted to go see the just see what the music venue looked like. We were in the restaurant portion, so we were starting to walk up toward the venue, and this guy like looked at us like, "Who are you and what are you doing?" You know, kind of thing. So I just thought maybe we could check out the music venue. He's like, and he was really super nice. He said, "I'd love to be able to show you the music venue, but I can't do it tonight. I've got a really big show tonight. I've got a famous person playing and he's doing the sound check and I just can't." He was like super apologetic and it was
oh, that's
funny.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the other thing, this might be the last music related thing. We went to the store that was full of synthesizers. You know, one of those techie type places. They sold synthesizers and vinyl records that were mostly electronic type stuff.
Right.
And it was really cool. And then we got to talking to the two people working there. And the woman, turns out she's in a band where she plays. I said, what's your setup of your band? Well, there are two of us and I play mostly from my laptop. She said, so, electronic stuff, and they're called LAPS.
right. Nice.
LAPS, all capitals. But then I looked it up and, it stands for Ladies as Pimps. and she said they had a gig in they have an upcoming gig at an art museum in London. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so definitely.
Fun to just run into people and find out their stories, and that was cool. So
exactly, that sounds really fun. Did you see any whiskey tours?
Yes, we did. we did a.
How's your liver?
So we had done a. We had done a 3-day whiskey tour last year, which was just fantastic. And so I couldn't, like, we're not going to spend another 3 days on a whiskey tour, you know. but so I thought, well, we'll be in Glasgow, and there's this guy who does 1-day whiskey tours. And so we did that, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was basically a guy taking us all around Glasgow with just crazy knowledge of the history. And he'd say, okay, we're going to stop at this building now. I'm going to tell you all about the history of this building. And then we're going to go to a bar and have a whiskey. And, you know, he had all the classic bars to get the whiskey from. And then he just, everything was in super detail. Wow. I couldn't believe it. We met him at 1 PM and we left him at 8:30 PM. It's like one guy right. And two of us. And it was, I mean, he can accommodate up to about 10 people, but we were the only people who signed up for that day. I just couldn't believe it. It was incredible. So, yeah, I've got a good whiskey tour reference if anybody is going to Glasgow.
Yeah, next time I head that direction, I gotta get some good traveling pointers from you.
And one other thing is that we flew on Iceland Air. So the airline lets you do a stopover. So we went 2 days in Iceland.
We just basically hit
the highlights. We did a 1-day bus tour type thing. It is spectacular. But then there was a little music related thing. We did a tour of this big concert hall that they've built there in, I think it's only a few years old. And there's a big story about how they had started the construction and they had a terrible economic downturn, and then it sat and it got delayed like crazy, and then they had to figure out how to refinance the whole thing. But it's just a big music complex with a great big concert hall, and then several other rooms where you can do different sized performances, and it's super high tech. They have these panels in the walls that you can turn, and if you turn them one way, you get more of a live sound. You turn them the other way, you get more of a sound dampening. So it's like really super cool. So
yeah,
man, I have just been talking, and this is getting this you boring. Had a good time. Like, yeah. So that's, I think I've talked enough. So it's been a while since we've talked to you. So I think, don't you have some live reports?
Let's see, a few. Yeah, then the gosh, you know, I've been so busy, I've actually missed a bunch. Even this week, I missed Camper Van Beethoven on Thursday and Cracker, and I think tonight is the Regrets and Hot Flash Heat Wave, and I don't know if we're going to be able to make it. It's down in Albuquerque, so it's another hour and a half or so down there. But what have I seen lately? Let me see. I saw Yaysayer. That was a fun kind of goofy show. Those guys are what can I say? they're really fun and also kind of goofy too. I guess that's not to be mean, but that's kind of how it was. Ways Blood too. And that was a really good show, really professional, nice. You know, they were all like, you know, very kind of somber and kind of professional. You know, the whole band was like wearing black and black turtlenecks. And then she was wearing like a white, like pantsuit, like a cream pantsuit, you know, and thank God nobody was yelling, lock her up or anything, you know. So it was a very professional show. They definitely were taking things very seriously, and it really, so that was a great show. Drug Dealer was fun. We saw them. That's they're kind of freewheeling, young, you know, bringing back this real 70s sound that that seems to be kind of popular these days.
Yeah. You sent us a video, and it looked like they had a whole bunch of people on stage. It was like a big band.
Yeah, like I think there was like 7 or 8 people. They had like a trumpet player and, you know, 2 guitarists. And and they're all kind of young and super just individualistic. Each had their own like little style going on. And it was actually a really fun show. Cherry Glazier played for free. That was really cool. Like in the, I think I've been on since then, but I don't think we talked about it. That was a really fun, awesome show. And it had rained earlier in the day. And it was like down in our downtown plaza. So a lot of people had left because they had to postpone the show. So then when she came on, it was like 40 people, you know,
we're like, wow. Standing
like right. I'm like next to them, you know, like leaning on the stage, and they just gave a really great performance and high energy. And yeah, that was really sweet. And then afterwards she was like, yeah, all the teens went to line up, and she was just super gracious and talked to them all and everything. It was very sweet.
Cool.
And then in Portland recently, I met up with Reese. That was super fun. And we went and saw Carly Bliss. So that was a good time. That was like, what, 3 weeks ago or something in Portland. And
yeah.
And then we went out to dinner, and that was super great to meet him. What a great guy. And it was that was really fun. And he put up with us, so hopefully he had a good time too.
Yeah, that's so cool. It was great that you guys were able to do that.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then what else do we see on that trip? The Comet Is Coming. That was they're kind of a UK space Afro jazz ensemble, and pretty dynamic. Like, I don't like all their music, you know, but seeing them live is pretty amazing. And just the sax player, it's just amazing. I mean, he can just play for 20 minutes straight. I don't know how he does it. Like, amazingly strong lungs and stamina. But that was a really fun show. That was at the Doug Fir Lounge. So was really interesting.
It's a cool venue, right?
Yeah, it is. It's good. Yeah. I have to go back up for some stuff next week. And so I'll be staying there. And hopefully, I don't really see anything that stands out to go see this next trip. Actually though, when I'm in Seattle, there's the Mekons are playing, so I better try to make that show, right?
Oh, you should. Yeah, I know somebody. I know somebody who will be there. I've got a friend dating way back to high school who lives in Seattle and is a big Mekons fan. I'm sure he'll be there.
Nice. So, yeah, I'll try to convince my friend that I'm staying with, see if they want to go, try to get them to, because I'm only there 2 nights, so I have to kind of prioritize seeing people, but yeah, hopefully I can drag them along.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to Portland to visit Reese in sometime, maybe in October or so. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to work around, you know, a way to see a live show. They have a pretty impressive number of live shows in Portland, like if you just look at the listings. So, you know, the odds are generally pretty good compared to a lot of places you could go at random.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I was trying to actually, I'm actually going up to Portland for a reunion, and I was trying to get, when we were organizing the reunion, I was trying to shift it toward the weekend when there was a bunch of good music. And then everybody else was like, it was falling out to be like, you know, next weekend. I was like, oh gosh, because there's not much playing, not many people that I want to see next weekend. But anyway, it'll be fine.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, we're here to talk about some more music.
Yeah. Maybe we should go to is it time for the main event?
I guess so.
Do you think people have already turned it off? They might have
deleted. No, of course not.
My report got pretty long. It might have been pretty boring. About the 6 minute point, they're saying, this has no relevance to my life. Delete.
No, they were like, maybe I need to send Will some liver tonic or something after all those whiskey tours.
They're pretty amazing at the pacing on the whiskey tour. Because you're not getting a huge portion, you know. Mm-hmm. You're getting a taste, you know, a little bit better than a taste, you know. A dram, they call it. And they're about an hour apart, so everything's cool. It was all good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
They can't have people passing out on the tour.
No, it just wouldn't be good. Right.
Or you don't do like with tasting wine where you spit it out. They don't do that. They actually swallow it.
We definitely swallowed it. Yeah. Yep.
Got it.
Oh, it was great. And it was, I could relive that as long, you know, if you can just keep talking about that because it was a great time. All right.
Do that once a month.
You are going to highlight for us the new album by indie rock veterans Hot Chip.
Oh my goodness. Hot Chip.
So you've been a big fan for a long time, it turns out, right?
Well, it's funny. It's not that long. I kind of stumbled upon them. Gosh, when was it? I think it was 2015, so it's only been 4 years. It was right when their last album came out. I was actually, I took my daughter and some friends and some of her friends up to Denver to see, it was Courtney Barnett opened for Spoon and the Decemberists. And then I had another friend from Denver come with us, and he was kind of a young, more hipster guy, and then he was like, oh, Nick, tomorrow this band Hot Chip's playing. I was like, oh, okay. But he couldn't go. So I ended up going by myself. And because Grandma and Grandpa were up there. So my daughter was at Grandma and Grandpa's house. And I went. And I couldn't quite figure it out at first. I was like, what is this? Like, this is so strange. Like, dance, electronic, soul music, but with a lot of electronics, but also tons of live, like, instruments being played, which that's kind of the only electronic music I really can like, is if there's a good mix of live and electronic. Like if it's just a keyboard or just, you know, a laptop, that's, to me, that's not kind of engaging enough really for a live show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've got like steel pan on stage, they've got marimbas, they've got, you know, 2 to 3 different drummers, like, you know, there's a lot going on. And so that's really fun. And and I just kind of like dove in deep after that. And so I really love all their older stuff. It's just, I don't know. They're amazing live. I love seeing them live. So we've made it a priority of the last few years to see them live. This year I'll see them 4 or 5 times, I think. Just a nice, I really like the mix, you know, of like, kind of like, you know, Alexis, the lead singer, kind of brings the soul to it. And Joe Goddard, the keyboardist, he brings the house beats, and it all kind of comes together really well, you know. And they love Prince, so they usually cover a Prince song, you know, Erotic City or If I Was Your Girlfriend or something. I really love them and just enjoy kind of that nice, danceable, fun mix and kind of getting lost for a couple hours. So Yeah, let me see. What should we start? What do you want to talk? What do you want to do?
Well, you should make the first pick. But the I'll mention it's, I believe, their seventh album. I did extensive music journalism to figure that out. It's called A Bath Full of Ecstasy. And yeah, pick a track. Let's go with it.
Yeah, so let me see. I really like actually number two, Spell. Yeah, so that was Spell. That's to me one of the kind of more catchy standout songs on the album. It was I think all three of the people we're going to talk about today, all of the albums were kind of like growers for me. So they're, at first it was like this album was a little bit more polished and kind of poppy than their other stuff is a little more quirky, which I kind of actually like a lot. It's just something that's kind of unexpected. And so it took me a little bit to kind of warm up to this album, but I've really started to enjoy it. The more, after I listened to it two or three times, it really has started to grow on me well. And I think this is also the first album that that they've enlisted an outside producer. So they worked with a couple different producers, one Philippe Zadar, who actually, unfortunately, 2 days before the album came out, died. So that was kind of a big shock. And this album came out on Solstice. And so, but just there, you know, his touch on the album and then this other, another producer, forgetting his name, I think he worked with the XX, what's his name, Radida McDonald or something. I think he's actually Scottish too, but sounds like it, McDonald, right? So they like, you know, they definitely have kind of, you can feel that this is a little bit different than their other albums, but I still really like it a lot. And I guess another reason why I really like it is, or just all of their music, is that kind of they're not like afraid or embarrassed to be really kind of heart-centered or talk about like love a lot, but in a kind of a very personal way. And in that, I don't know how, I guess respect that, and, you know, hope that maybe I can be that way a little bit more. And so it sounds like, you know, I think to some people, like a lot of their songs maybe sound like sappy or something, but to me it's like, it's really like kind of goes beyond that. And so I appreciate that. And what did you think about it?
I liked it. I think there's not enough of, you know, dance rhythm type music that also has like enough heart to it in my mind, I guess.
Right.
You know? And that was why, for me, New Order was such a breakthrough for me because after all the dance music that I thought was just melodically boring, when New Order got into the kind of sort of gloomy but kind of catchy tunes, and I guess they were gloomy, and then they became a little more poppy, but there was always this little edge to it, and combining that with the beats was really cool. So they're still
aren't there. Yeah, I mean, New Order's so great. They're, of course, just huge fans of New Order. And actually, recently, New Order said that they're huge fans of Hot Chip.
That's great.
Yeah, they asked him, like, what are you listening to now? And they're like, Hot Chip.
The,
can't remember which one said that.
But. The guy's name is Alexis Taylor, is that right?
Yeah, he's he writes a lot of the lyrics. Kind of him and Joe met when they were, I think, 11. And then went to school together and started writing music in high school. And then they were also schoolmates with Owen Clark, which is the other keyboardist. And then, and they've kind of just, they all kind of met in school when they were pretty young and they have a real strong connection also with, LCD Sound System.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me.
Al, the guitarist, is also in LCD Sound System and wrote maybe five or six of the last album songs with LCD. And I've only seen them both at one. They used to tour a lot together, but then Al had to play two shows every night.
I didn't realize they had a common member.
I've only seen one show like that in Paris. It was really great outdoor where Hot Chip opened for LCD and afterwards I tweeted to Al like, oh my God, good work, man. But that's a long, long thing, you know? And he usually gets back. They really seem like really nice guys. And, so, and then that spell, and there's so many little offshoots. That's what I kind of went down all those different rabbit holes at different times. And like that the song Spell that we played, that auto-tuned voice, it sounds like it's actually Rob Grovesner, Smuthen, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he tours with them. He's kind of not one of the original members, but he tours with them, and he was actually in that band Skritti Palitti.
Oh, wow.
Remember them in the 80s, right? Yeah. So he's one of those guys, and so he's kind of like the elder in the band, and they're really fun, so I enjoy it. Do you want to pick a track?
Yeah, I was just going to mention there was an Alexis Taylor solo album, right? A year or two ago. And it's just basically piano.
Right. Exactly. And, yeah. He's like a huge fan of like Bill Callahan and kind of American folk stuff. Like he does a lot of stuff with Bonnie Prince Billy and just kind of piano and folky stuff.
That's clearly indie rock cred. All those names that you mentioned. I have like a couple top picks, but I think I'm going to go with the title track. Bathful of Ecstasy.
Nice.
I've got the cure, the pure remedy. I know I can make you see the colors that I see. Come take a bath in our ecstasy. I'll wash away all of your fears, you'll see. Put the beauty of your heartbreak. Acetate for you to leave.
So, you know, I don't normally really go for the auto-tune very much. And you could also argue that that's a little sappy of a song, but just overall, I like it. It's got a good, it's just nice.
Yeah, there's definitely, that's especially that second, right, kind of that last 20 seconds before you faded it out. It's really got a nice, that refrain or whatever it is, got a nice little groove to it.
Yeah.
And it's a sweet little, that kind of reminds me, it's funny, when the last time I saw him in New York after the show, I was like super just like happy, right? And mm-hmm. So, and I ran, Alexis's wife was like walking by and we kind of made eye contact and we started talking and I was like profusely thanking her and all of them for coming. She's the look on her face, she's probably thinking like, you're on ecstasy. Yeah. I'm like, no, I swear I've only had a beer.
Something's I'm just really wrong excited. With this guy. Yeah. That's funny. Oh, that's great. All right, let's play one more.
How about number six, Positive?
Chip. So if I'm going to be a music journalist, you know, and do a comparison to something, would it make sense to compare them to Depeche Mode?
Yeah, I definitely could hear that.
Like that song, that definitely.
You know, or a little bit of Smiths, a little bit of New Order, but and then some kind of dance, kind of house stuff mixed in.
Right.
Or kind of UK garage, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely... Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's not for everyone. I have a lot of friends kind of, you know, that it's not for them, but... But I've really, you know, I really enjoy their music and then seeing them live, like I was saying, it's just so fun. So, And that song was like, you know, Alex said, you know, it's this song talks about perceptions of homelessness, illness, the need for community, kind gestures or lack thereof, information and love, you know. So I guess that always, you know, comes back to that a lot of times in their music. So that's nice.
Very cool. Hot Chip. And indie rock veterans. And do you think that's a fair thing to call them indie rock veterans? I mean, I think so, right? They've got enough cred to be still called indie rockers, I think.
Yeah, I think so. This is what, like you said, I think their seventh album.
Yeah.
They've been, the first one came out, 15 years ago or something? And and they're still kind of underground. But then, you know, in the UK, they can definitely headline festivals, but then at other places, like I just saw them, you know, with like 400 people or something. So that's, it's kind of interesting that kind of how that plays out in different places. And like you said, I think they are kind of veterans in that they've been doing this for a while and also have a lot of, like, the critics seem to like them, which is kind of interesting for kind of, I think recently The Guardian called them the best British pop act of their generation.
Wow.
That's kind of a bold statement.
Yeah, that is.
And, it even got a pretty good review on this album from Pitchfork so I think they're all just very talented, and that's what I loved seeing them live. It's like they're all trading instruments. They're all changing stuff. They do, cool covers. The last time I saw them, they did this awesome cover of Beastie Boys' Sabotage, and Money Mark from the Beastie Boys DJ came out and played with them that song and then the rest of the show, and then jumped off stage and ran through the crowd and ran down the sidewalk, like ran out.
Oh, that's great.
It was like, yeah, they're just definitely high energy show, so it's fun.
Very cool. All right, before we go to the next band, I was just talking for too long, so I neglected to mention another important thing, and that is we met up with two people we met at South by Southwest. Doug and Vicky. Were you at Chills show with the at the record store where they had the signing and all that stuff? Seems like maybe
Me and Chris, I think, missed that. I think we were over at Cherry Glazer and Japanese Breakfast or something.
That makes sense. And we met up after that. But some of us were at this show, and we met these really nice people, Doug and Vicky, who live in Austin. And we spotted them. They stood out because Doug was wearing a wussy t-shirt. And I'm like, well, he's got to be a cool guy. Let's talk to this guy.
Oh,
and then I just made you think if somebody likes this band, maybe they like this other band, right? So I asked him about the Mekons, and it turns out they're big Mekons fans. And then I was telling him about how we're from Madison, the Mekons are going to be in Madison in July, and they were like, I think we might come to that show. So literally they're retired. They do a lot of traveling and go and see bands. So they came to Madison and saw the Mekons, and I was gone, of course. And then just before, Barrett had met up with them and took them out to some cool places in Madison. And then I was able to meet up with them and Barrett again the day that they left town, a couple days ago.
Fun.
It was great. So it was really cool meeting up with them, and we're planning on seeing them again, of course, next year in March, right?
Right, yeah. Are they going to come, you think?
Yeah.
They've already got it booked in? I can't wait. I'm all excited.
I haven't
bought my flights yet, but we got our hotels already. So
right.
We're kind of set.
We've got the hotel, and we have to decide if we're going to stick with the hotel or try to do another Airbnb, which I would do, but if we could get one that's closer in, right, than the one we had last year.
Yeah.
It was a great place. But the convenience was a little bit, it just wasn't quite, you can't have everything, right?
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the place we got has a pool, so that might be nice to just be able to chill and kind of do a little, go back and take a little quick nap.
Right. Right. That's
you
true
know, that it's so close,
Right. So. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Hatchy. So, so maybe it's best that Barrett couldn't make it today because, he didn't really get in. He just said, I can't get into this album at all. So, and it's also a little dancey, right? And kind of poppy. And it's funny. I'll just describe it before we play it. But I thought that there was clearly a little bit, at least, of a New Order influence, and also some of the poppier stuff like the Cranberries. That's what I thought.
Uh-huh,
sounded like
right,
New Order and the Cranberries, and which, like I think I've said before, the Cranberries didn't really wear that well on me, but I still love New Order. And then it's funny, and then I read, it might have been the Wikipedia article, where she cited New Order and the Cranberries as
really?
Influences,
wow.
And also the Sundays that were kind of in that genre.
Yeah.
Like
you mentioned the Cocteau Twins, like at first when you mentioned that, I was like, really? And then I went back and listened to it again.
Right.
Like,
there's a little bit of that.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because she performs as Hatchy. I guess, I don't know, maybe that's the band. Maybe that's her. The woman's name is Harriet Pilbeam. Mm-hmm. She's from, Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, you know, we're always promoting the bands in Nicholas's backyard.
Brisbane is she comes over for barbecues. And...
yeah, it's a little bit of a distance from Brisbane, but you know, to make it to Nicholas's barbecue, you'd go out of your way, right? If you had that opportunity,
you know, throw some kangaroo on the Barbie.
So she's kind of an indie rock veteran in the sense that she's played at a bunch of bands before. She's been around, and this is, I think, guess this is her first, you know, project where she's like clearly the leader of the project. So it's called Hatchie, and the album is called Keepsake. So let's start with number 8, Stay With Me.
Yeah, that was a nice pick. Very good.
So I guess it's controversial even among the podcasting crew here, but you know, nothing is for everybody.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like, can't just try to please everyone all the time.
Yeah. so yeah, it's super poppy, but catchy, and there's enough stuff, I think, in... sometimes it comes down to your musical history, doesn't it? It's like things that you... liked a long time ago that still have, there's a little bit of a spark there, you know, and I think that this has that.
Yeah, exactly. I find myself coming back to things that sound very kind of 80s or whatever was kind of alternative popular in high school kind of, or whatever I might have been listening to, you know.
Yeah.
Like you were saying with the, you know, kind of coming back to Cocteau Twins or New Order a little bit. And I didn't, it's funny because I didn't catch that the first listen through. And then when you mention it, it's like, oh, maybe that's why I like this. Like, okay, that comes back around. And I forgot to mention, I saw her recently live. She opened for Girlpool. And that was good. You know, it was a short set, but definitely she was pretty captivating and engaged. And so, that was a fun little set. Just really good, kind of likable dream pop, you know, and I think she's got a great voice, so that always helps. And she's what record label? I think she's on the same label that, like, with Frankie Kosmos and Mitski.
Don't remember.
And, yeah, huh. Level Up and stuff. I don't, what's that one? Double Whammy or something. So she's kind of in that mix with a lot of other young and upcoming acts, and overall I really liked this album. A couple of them I could kind of do, you know, pass on or skip over, but for for the most part, I really liked all of it. Let's see. Let's maybe play Obsessed, number four.
Guitar solo sounded like a New Order Peter Hook bass solo.
Right, didn't it? I know, or yeah. Almost like The Cure or something. Little riff, like that, whatever, minute 45 or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely that, I think, sold that song for me.
Yep, it's a good one. So, well, that was kind of a New Order influenced song. So I think there's one that really does sound like it has a Cocteau Twins influence. And they're just one of my absolute favorite all-time bands. So whenever somebody's influenced by them, I always think, okay, that's good. Mm-hmm, we can have more of that. So the one I'm thinking of is number three, Her Own Heart.
Feel.
That's Hatchy.
The album, yeah, very nice.
The album's called Keepsake. And yeah, you probably know whether you like it or not by now, right?
Probably so. That's
hopefully Barrett isn't
give a taste.
I hope he's not scoffing too badly as he listens to this.
Right. Is he cursing under his breath or is he switched? Have we converted him?
Yeah. It's probably somewhere in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on? We do have one more.
Yeah. If we can keep people's attention, we've got another amazing band coming up.
We basically can't be stopped. Okay. So here's the story. Here's the backstory. But in our behind the scenes pre-production, there's been like a long discussion. Are we going to talk about Wise Blood? Are we talking about that this week? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. And Barrett and Chris, too bad neither of them are on today. I think they're like really big fans of this album. And I hadn't, somebody compared it to Enya. Okay. Remember Enya? And when I heard it get compared to Enya, I'm like, okay, well, just, I'm not even going to listen because I just,
right.
So then, you know, there was enough discussion about it that I thought, all right, I got to give this thing a chance. So I did. And I'm up to the point of liking about half of it. So I'm kind of in the middle on it. I like the songs that are like full band with drums, and when there's like a 5 minute like synthesizer soundscape, doesn't hold me quite as much. Mm-hmm, but but I'm glad we finally got to this. So Wise Blood is the project of a woman named Natalie Meering, who was born in Santa Monica. Then she moved to Pennsylvania, I guess as a kid. Went to college in Portland for a year. Then she decided to pursue music. And guess what she did? What do you do when you're in that situation? You move to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom, which is what she did.
Right. From Portland to Brooklyn, right?
Then yeah. I think you could kind of get indie rock stardom in Portland, couldn't you?
Right, exactly.
Be a little different.
A good launch point.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So, and it seems like she had an album a couple years ago that was pretty highly praised. And I think she's been sort of building momentum. So I think at this point you can almost say indie rock stardom, but you saw her live, right?
Yeah, recently. And yeah, I was a little on the fence and I was like, you know, a lot of people that I respect really like her. And so it's just like, okay, I'm going to go check it out. And I was really impressed. That was very well put together. And, the songs are, you know, she creates a real soundscape, you know? And so it's almost like, I mean, less live, but the album almost sounds like a musical or a soundtrack kind of, you know, and then the, you know, and it even talked, you know, the title of the album, you know, has Titanic in it. And then it has another song in there called Movies. So it almost sounds like to me, like there's that, you know, and there's a lot of that, like kind of references to lost love and working hard for love. And this album's really grown on me. But at first it took a while to kind of be like, okay, be patient enough with it and kind of give it the time, to kind of sink in. And so, but you can tell like live, like they're extremely talented and you know, she puts a lot of thought and crafting into this music. And so, you know, she's also got a really great voice live. That was really, and just a really strong presence, you know, and, you know, so she kind of almost reminds me a little bit, like I kind of, on the album, whenever at different points, almost like Carole King or something. But like within like a musical or a soundtrack of some movie that I don't know what it is. But yeah, I've really kind of grown to like this album, but it definitely took me a while to kind of come around.
Why don't you make the first pick?
Yeah, I like number two, Andromeda.
Andromeda.
the heart that's lazy, running for my own life now. I'm really turning some time, looking up to the sky for something I may never find. Stop
Wise Blood. Yes, that was my first pick also. The
oh,
solo,
really?
Yeah. Isn't the solo great? I mean, that, whatever yeah, it is, pedal steel, lap steel, whatever that thing is.
Right, yeah, he was just, at least live, he was just using, yeah, like a slide, you know.
Oh, a slide on a guitar.
Like a glass slide, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really like, you know, reading back about her a little bit, you know, she was raised really like born again Pentecostal Christian. And so, and she said that, you know, some of her inspiration is, you know, in the past, most of the great classical music and early music was written for God, kind of in a sacred space. And she's quoted, sacred music and sacred space music, that was my favorite thing about music. Not so much the content wise, not so much the theory and concept of God, but just the idea that we built this gigantic cathedral palace for people to sing in. And so seems like, you know, and that track really shows that, you know, talking about feels really spacey and dreamy and kind of watery, and also, you know, talking about Andromeda. And so,
yeah
I liked that track.
Very cool. All right. So for my next pick, it was between number one and number four. So normally we'd just say, well, we got to go with four, but
right.
I'm going to play the first track because there's an artist we've talked about on the podcast that I think this sounds like stylistically, and I'm going to see if anybody else hears the same thing in it as me. So let's do this one. Number one, A Lot's Gonna Change.
Gently wrapped around.
Wise Blood. It's sort of unapologetically cinematic or something, right?
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow. It's like, yeah, if you're getting ready for, it's like the credits or something, you know?
Right. So now I don't know why, but every time I hear that, I think it sounds like John Grant.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah. It's
interesting.
I don't know. That's when I think of, we've talked about a couple John Grant albums, and they, I know there have been tracks that have that kind of quality to it with the piano and the kind of, except his angle on it is a little different. Like, he's usually like singing like goofball humor lyrics and stuff, but it's
right. Exactly. I'm wondering if, yeah, if we ever had John Grant. I don't remember that. I'll have to go back and listen to those yeah. pods, but yeah, no, he is such a character, isn't he? Oh my gosh. But I could hear that. Definitely.
Barrett will have a better idea of whether that was an apt comparison or not. So,
he's very good at that.
Yep. All right. Let's play one more from Wise Blood.
Well, it's interesting too. Like, the other thing that kind of plays back into John Grant a little bit is like, isn't it interesting how some artists, like their music that isn't, they're kind of associated with like indie or different or something, but their music is actually very more traditional sounding,
right?
You know? But then I don't know. It's like who they're hanging out with, so they're considered indie, or like,
right?
You know, it's kind of like John Grant or like Joanna Newsom or something, where you're kind of like, you know, and like Wise Blood, she sings on the new Drug Dealer album, you know, so it's like all these people are hanging out together. Is that why? And so then they're kind of on the same labels, but that's always intrigues me. You know what I mean? Like, why wasn't this classified as more kind of classical or like, you know, soundtrack genre?
Right.
You know, that it's, you know, but let's see. So the one that, you know, the other kind of standout, the one that you hear on the radio is also good, I think. Number three, Every Day.
Sounds like she would need 10 people on stage to duplicate that backing vocal part.
Right. Yeah. She had one or two, I think. They all kind of chimed in. Most of the band chimed in on that part. But yeah, that's kind of a very bouncy, you know, piano tune. Kind of reminds me of, something that could be from the 70s, Carole King or I'm kind of forgetting the who was the real famous kind of piano rocker in the 80s that kind of reminded me of, but I'm just spacing his name right now.
Elton John.
no, he was a little more underground than that. I don't know. But yeah, Elton John maybe too. But yeah, I this album really grew on me. At first, like you said, it kind of almost sounded like Enya or something, some of it. But I really, I've kind of really grown to appreciate how complex it is and different layers in it and different songs and things. So I like it. Thumbs up.
I'm definitely on board for the first half. And if I gave the second half a little more time, it maybe grown me a little bit more. But definitely worthy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, later it's a little slower in that second half. And like that number six, movies, that it's kind of a slow build, but then it really kicks in at like a minute and a half or something. But I didn't pick that because I didn't know if we'd get to that point before we fade it out. But yeah, so like you said, I think the first half is really solid and second half is still growing on me.
All right. Since I blabbered on for so long, that means this whole podcast is long. So congratulations to anybody who's made it through the whole thing. You deserve something. You deserve, I don't know what, you deserve something. We don't have any prizes left, though. We spent all the money on Jeremiah's studio, so we ran out of prizes to give the listeners for
exactly,
the time being.
Exactly, I know. My travel budget, it's like, wow, you guys are really got to save up for some gifts, you know, some more t-shirts or lapel pins or Will's Band of the Week earplugs or something.
Yeah. Oh, I should mention on, if you check our Twitter, you can see some good 38 special videos that I put up there. I think you saw those,
yes.
right?
Yes, those were gems.
Yeah, so there was a very heartfelt interview with Don Barnes, who wrote the song. And actually, he got help. You know, that song was written, it was co-written by Jim Peterick, who was kind of a hit maker type of songwriter from Chicago, who was in the band Survivor. So remember Eye of the Tiger?
Right, yeah, I remember Eye of the Tiger.
Okay, so like that guy was co-writer of Hold On Loosely. So if you watch that, it's like a 4.5 minute interview thing, and it's great because he's explaining the deep meaning of Holding On Loosely. He says to Peterick, you know, I'm trying to write this song, and this is what I'm trying to convey, and I'm kind of thinking of this line, like, hold on loosely, and then Peterick says, but don't let go! And then the light went on. And that was, and the rest is rock history. It's just beautiful. All right. I thought I'd mention that. Okay. We better sign off. We're back in the swing of things. And we're going to have we've got a backup of bands again, right? All clamoring to be on the podcast and get as many on as we can, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No, and actually, I just remembered, I think 38 Special is playing when I'm in Oregon, so I have to make that show.
Really? Oh my God.
Could probably pull some slots in between sets.
It must be, is there a county fair going on or something? That's usually what they play
like
at.
A casino,
yeah.
I think.
Right, yeah.
The tribal casinos.
All right.
And Randy Newman, that's who it just popped into my head again.
Oh yeah, right.
Doesn't it,
right.
that last Blood song kind of Randy Newman song?
Yes, yep. That's a better... clearly much more apt comparison than Elton John. Yeah. Okay, let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.